Lip Service. Matt Lips' sweet podcast that's totally not a blowjob. Cause a blowjob would be better, but you can settle for second best. So if you can't get a blowjob, you can settle for the Lip Service podcast. But a blowjob would be better, no doubt.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Lip Service. I don't know why I was saying that. I'm going to make this quick. I have nothing new to report. So we're just going to get right to it then. This episode should have been longer than it was, but I explained all that in there. We'll just leave it at, for now, we'll leave it at, I'm dumb. So, my guest is Mike D'Alto, good friend, fun guy, pretends to be Jewish sometimes. And yeah, it was fun. So like I said, I have nothing new, all the same things from before, film festival coming up and open mic, blah, blah, blah. Just enjoy the episode.
I guess it would be nice to do a podcast in a room filled with dicks, sitting here around drinking scotch with my main man, Matt Lips. There you go. That's all I got.
Well, you didn't mention Lip Service, but that's okay. you didn't actually mention the podcast.
But didn't you say you record the forward thing anyway?
At all. The what?
Don't you record a forward to this anyway?
An intro? Yeah, but then after the intro's over, the guest song leads it in.
Well, that was the best rhyme I could get. It's because right
like, so. You're untalented. It's fine. I've thought that for a while, but whatever.
Never been a singer.
Oh, yeah, you're a guitar man, though.
I am a guitar man.
They actually call that an axe man, but...
Yeah, fair enough.
Do you not like that term? You sounded like you didn't like the term axe man.
No, I don't really give a shit, to be honest. I don't know, I play a couple things, so...
Well, I'm sure you listen to my podcast all the time, so you should know what the topic... at the beginning of the show is every show, right? I mean, because you listen, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
And you definitely listened before you came on.
Absolutely.
Even. Okay.
I mean, just for this recording, you should probably say it just for the people who are listening.
I mean, why don't you couldn't you say it? Be like, oh yeah, that topic.
You know, it's your show, man. I don't want to ruin the hosting duties.
I mean, it almost feels like, and I'm not trying to imply anything, it almost, just the way that you're saying that, it almost seems like you don't listen and you don't know. That's what
I have no idea.
That hurts my feelings. But that's okay.
I don't know, like, it was weird, because, no, like, I used to be a real big podcast
No,
guy.
I don't expect, like, any of my guests to have listened to it before. Some have, like, an episode or two, but I don't really expect, I don't have the biggest listenership, and that's fine. I don't care. Who am I? But that's all right. It's nostalgia, sir, and I know... You're that kind of guy.
Ooh. Nostalgia in what way? Like
whatever it will... Whatever. Sometimes I lead it one way, but sometimes I like to see... Just saying the word and seeing where...
I mean,
whoever takes it. Because, yeah,
I'm,
you could
I'm
take
I'm a nostalgia
it.
Guy. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, there's so many ways you could take it. I'm not sure if you want to just do, like... I mean, I could do all kinds of things. I could do comedy, like, anything. I could do, I mean, nostalgia just from,
like,
being in Puck.
Yeah. Because, a lot of people go, a lot of people take it, like, the maybe TV show route. I have nostalgia for that, like, the 90s. I have nostalgia for that.
Oh, of course.
I have nostalgia for, like, times in my life. Like, you said, like, Puck, like, the way things used to be, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I have all of it. So, but this is to figure out your, or whatever you want to talk about.
I mean, a lot of nostalgia for me usually comes from, old music, and, especially old, comedy bits, from, like, listening to comedy when you're, like, a kid.
It's weird, not weird, but, like, when you said music, it's, at my one job, I listen to music for part of the day. And, like, I had one of those where I was listening, I have on my iPod, you know, some people, like, when they have a track by an artist, like, they only have, like, one or two of their songs, and they have their own separate thing. So they'll have, like, 50 different things for someone with one song. Mm-hmm. I condense that all into one thing. I just label single tracks. And just have all that type of stuff where it's anywhere one to maybe three or four songs that I have by an artist. So I was listening to that on shuffle, and I'm not going to tell you what song it was, but a song came on. Not to the point where I felt like crying, but like just like the second it came on, it just kind of hit to a time and shit. And like, I had that. It's not that bad of a song, but it was Eve 6, Here's to the Night, but it's not necessarily because the song's like a sadder-ish song. It's just more to the a song I listen to a lot when that that time happened. So
yeah, I have this is kind of weird. So my father used to, one that always gets me, believe it or not, is Aqualung by Jethro Tull.
I know who Jethro Tull is, obviously. I don't listen, but
my dad used to play it all the time in the car when we were little. My sister and I would laugh our ass off at it because there's one line in it where he says "feeling like a dead duck," but the way he says it, he's like "feeling like a dead duck." And like, fucking hysterical.
Oh, I gotcha.
So like two little kids in the back seat of this fucking Toyota 100 pickup in the early 90s. And that comes on, we're in the back as, like, little kids, just feeling like a dead duck. And every time I hear that, I just think of driving around in that fucking truck.
Listening to, like, one song, I remember I was probably in, like, middle school, and there was a song, Issues, by The Offspring. And I used to think when I listened to it, just, like, you listen to it now, and there's nothing really that dirty about it. It's not, like, that bad. But, like, listening to it in, like, middle school, I'm like, oh, man.
I mean, I'm not big into new music at all.
So
the club that I work in, we get a lot of rock cover bands.
Just music that's not like
it's not mainstream. I have a lot of CDs and a lot of music on my iTunes that's just bands that I've like worked sound for and that I've like just seen in my home club. And like it has nothing to do with like, you know, people are like, oh, fucking hipster, you should have seen that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's like the majority over the last couple of years of my music library has turned into just bands that like I've worked with and stuff.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it. I never was a huge radio guy. And
I was.
It declined so much in the early 2000s.
I only listen to my iPod in the car now.
Listen to the actual radio.
It's weird. It's just like I don't have a ton of like new music, and I don't find that many new bands anymore. But at the same time, I don't really have much old music. Like I'm into like newer music, but from like late 90s, early 2000s to up to recently, like for bands that, because I used to be into music a lot more before I got into comedy. I still am into music. I just don't have the same passion for it. I don't really find a ton of new bands, and I think it has to do with getting older.
Yeah, that's your thing. Well, my buddy was just texting me actually before we started recording this, and he was like, "Dude, what is it?" He said to me, "Dude, Fleetwood Mac, why are they so good?" And I was like, "Dude, you know, I think it's just a getting older thing. I think it's just something you have to live with."
He said, "Why are they so good?"
Yeah. And I was like, "You just have to live with it, man. It's just you're getting older. Like, that's it."
I never really listened to Fleet. I hate that. I really listen to, like, my music is so, like, this isn't the right word. I'm using the word
2004.
Well, yeah, I'm basically, like, I want to say the word secluded, but it's not secluded. It's just, like, most of the stuff I listen to is mainly a specific genre. Like it goes out like a little bit, but like all kind of coming back to like the same type of music where I'm not really into much like older music, mm-hmm. like even early 90s and before that. I don't like rap.
A lot of like old rock and roll and stuff. A lot.
I mean,
like, I get into kicks like big time. Like right now, I'm totally on Alice Cooper kick.
A couple months ago
I was really into Stooges. Like I go through phases of music.
The Three Stooges made music.
Iggy and the Stooges. Good stuff.
I have some Billy Joel for
everyone loves the song Allentown.
Yeah.
They're closing all the factories down.
Are they? Yeah. Oh man. Mm-hmm. When did that happen? Most of the old stuff that I actually have on there is either like is like my mom, like from Billy Joel, and like maybe a couple Rod Stewart, maybe some like oldie oldies, like I hate most of my dad's music, but there's one here and there that like, and usually it's a song most people know, but yeah.
Weird. I usually like I play like I'll be playing different music in the house sometimes. Like when my dad's around, he'll be like, "I haven't heard that song in like 40 years." He's like, "I forgot about that band." Like just random shit like that. Oh, I don't know. That's like I don't know. There's something. There's just something that like there's just something way more creative about that music than I think stuff is now. Like I originally went to college for audio design, and I was trying to get into the music industry, being a sound man, like a professional sound man. And I can't stand the state of the music industry right now. Everything's very formulated, and they take all the artists and just drain them for what they have.
But and, you're in a band.
Yeah, no. But see, like the bands get screwed because the musicians that play they don't get any recognition. Yes and no. Here and you know, but I mean, back in the day, like you take a band like I don't know, like the fucking like The Who or something. You know, there are many people that when you say The Who, they immediately think Pete Townsend, who was you know the guitar player, not Daughtry, who was the lead singer. Or some people usually say Keith Moon, who was the drummer. Like everyone knew the people in the band, and now you just have people that go out on tour, playing the same shit for 3 years in a row, just slam it in people's faces, and there's like a hired band that are professional musicians that are really, really good, and all they do is just basically collect a salary and go home every night. Like, I fucking hate my job. See,
all the stuff I listen to, it's just like an actual band, not like like a lead singer that just has a random backup band for it.
Well, it's like, I mean, they do it with everyone, though. It's like, I think there was someone the other day, I forget who was talking about, they were talking about Justin Bieber.
And
I was like, you know, like, that kid, he's done. Like, he's run his course.
Yeah, he's trying to be all badass.
Well, they're like, what do you mean he's run his course? I'm like, well, you know, they saw money to be made, and they made it. And now there's not much else. And that's how the music industry is now.
Yeah, now it's like, he's older, and he likes drugs and tattoos.
I mean, who doesn't?
They're illegal, sir. So, so I don't know what you're trying to imply. Well, then again, you're at John and Peter's all the time. I can only imagine.
No, everyone's pretty chill there. Everyone's just, you know, old stoners.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure there's no magic camping powder. I just got that from Review. He called it camping. You watch that show Review?
No.
Oh, my God. You have to.
I did. I saw the one episode. And it was the cocaine episode.
Because that was the very first episode where he took... Yeah, he took...
Yeah, so
like,
I did
have
watch
you seen,
it once.
You know, my bag with the camping powder in it? I just rewatched. It was the first... season was only 9 episodes. I just rewatched it again. It's fucking fantastic.
I love doing
you need
that
to, you need to get on that train, that bus, that whatever... The train, the bus.
Here's my question, since, like, when you rewatch old stuff, like comedy and stuff like that, how about a question for you is remember before I said to get nostalgia about comedy bits and stuff, what...
Like your own?
No, not your own, okay. Like ones you listened to, like when you were little or something. Do you have any in your head that stick out?
I don't... Comedy really doesn't do it for me. I mean, I'm trying to think of one... I can tell you the first... I'm trying to think...
I know a lot of comedians that don't listen to comedy.
I'll tell you, well, actually, the first comedian I ever listened to, and I think I've talked about this before, because, like, obviously, he's great, but I think I liked it more as a kid because of what he was saying in George Carlin, where my comedy tastes have changed a lot, where when I go back and listen to it, I don't really find it as funny as I did.
It.
Yeah. And I know he's great, but yeah, back when I was younger, the things he was saying were like raunchy, dirty, and I think I liked I liked a lot more. And now my comedy, like what I listen to, has changed a lot. So when I listen to that, it's like it's still enjoyable, but I don't really find it as funny as I did before.
Gotcha.
So.
Actually, it's funny. The other night I was like about to go to sleep, and then on Comedy Central, Eddie Murphy Raw came on uncut. And I was like, fuck, I'm going to end up watching this entire thing until, like, 4:30 in the morning, which I did, and I still laugh my ass off throughout that entire thing. Like, prior on the Sunset Strip, stuff like that, fucking kills me every time.
I just realized that, I guess, now that I guess, kind of the same with music, where, like, I don't listen to a lot of, like, comedy like that either, mm-hmm. like, older, like, I think Carlin's, like, the farthest I would go back with yeah. listening to old comics. Like, I do listen to a lot of, you know, comics that are like, still around and, yeah. and like,
new. I mean, that's weird. I get weird, because I was brought up on a lot of, like, really old school stuff. Like, I grew up mainly staying at my grandparents' house all the time, because my parents were divorced when I was really young. And I would sit there with my grandfather and watch, like, Benny Hill, like, Marx Brothers shit, and, like, you know, Monty Python, like, all that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I was brought up mainly on that, and then my father, who was, like, the corrupter at that point, being the divorced dad, he, you know, I remember he gave me a Carlin album. He'd always talk about Murphy stuff, you know, everything yeah. like that. And then eventually when we all moved back out here to Pennsylvania, family got back together. It just became
that sucks, doesn't it? I mean, that's just.
I used to have a bit where it was like me talking to my dad, and I was like, "No, they got remarried to my mom again." Why? And it was a terrible bit. It was horrible. It never hit. I did it for like a month, like 5 years ago, and it just never took. And I was like, no more of that."
I had a revelation. Actually, it's not really a revelation. It's stuff I knew about myself, but I never put it all together in one piece where I don't really like anything like pre-90s. I just realized music, I don't really go older.
I had a girlfriend like that once.
Movies, for the most part, I don't go before
there.
I had
a girlfriend that refused to watch movies if they were
in black and white. I don't refuse, and I'd probably enjoy a lot of, like, I've said this before, like, a ton of movies that are, like, classics or just, like, even, like, stuff that was made in the 90s or today that mm-hmm. are outside of what I watch. There's not many movies that I've watched that I don't like. It's just the fact that I don't have the interest in watching them
time. I will say this. The one pre-90s movie that I hope you really do love, because everyone on the planet should.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Caddyshack? You've not seen Caddyshack?
There are movies I know I should watch and I kind of interest in watching, but I just...
I don't know if I haven't downloaded and watched it.
I watch mainly all comedies, and I still have yet... And I keep saying I'm going to do it, and I always forget. Dumb and Dumber.
Alright, I mean, that's...
And I still, like, haven't seen it, and I want to, but I'm like, I want to. But I still haven't... I'm like, oh, you got to download that and watch it, and I just always forget.
Yeah, Dumb and Dumber is like a love-hate for a lot of people.
Is it? Because that's...
I think so.
For a lot of people, they're like, yeah, you watch, like, all comedies, and you haven't seen Dumb and Dumber. I'm like, yeah.
It wasn't pre-90s, though.
No. There's a lot of movies, there's a lot of early 90s that I haven't. I'm trying to think of, there were probably movies I've seen that I hated. The only one that comes to mind, and I remember I saw it in the theaters, because someone wanted to see it, I was bored out of my mind, and that was Lost in Translation. I was bored out of my fucking
mind.
Yeah,
if you want to sit down and, like, be a film student, sure. I didn't not like it, but I didn't like it also.
Yeah, it's like
I was like right down, like, I could do without watching it again.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to bother me to not watch it ever again.
I can't tell you anything about the movie anymore, because I saw that one time when it was in theaters, and I'm like, I'm not putting myself through
it. I mean, it's not a bad movie, but it's just, you know. I mean, when I sit down to, like, watch TV and shit, I want to watch something mindless. And you know, nothing, like, something that's, in, like, I'll watch, like, I watch, like, everyone watches fucking Walking Dead and shit like
I've
that.
I've seen some, like, that's a show that, like, I'm happy I didn't get on board with it, but at the same time, it's a show that if someone had me sit down and they played it through for me, like, yeah I'm gonna enjoy it. Like, I watch, my roommate was watching, like a season.
Block.
Yeah, and I was, and I watched a couple episodes, and I'm like, you know what, you know, I got into the episodes as I was watching them, but I'm like, it's something I was okay with not.
I'm really afraid that that's going to turn out to be like a Lost type of deal. I'm still pissed off at the end of Lost.
See, that, I remember seeing the commercials before it came on and thinking to myself, like, oh, that seems, like, interesting just with the plane crash and gets stuck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I think I was going to watch it, and then I didn't, and then I'm like, I guess I'm really glad.
No, you should be very glad you
didn't,
that
I didn't get
7 years of your life watching Lost just to get to the end of it and go, are you fucking kidding me?
And I hear they keep giving you a ton of questions with no answers.
Yeah, my sister called me last year, And she was like, I just started watching Lost on Netflix. Yeah,
you're like,
and
stop.
I went, no, stop. Just stop abort. Now. Don't do it.
You're like, abort the mission. Get the fuck out of there.
No more of that. I was cracking up. I know, she's so weird. I don't know. I try to get her into comedies and stuff. There are different ones. And there's certain shows, like, I don't know, sitcoms, whatever, that, like, I really enjoy the writing of comedy-wise. Like, I will always forever be a huge fan of 30 Rock.
Yeah, that's one I never
And I
watched.
Feel like that's one that either people, they either like it or they don't.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'll sit there at night, and my girlfriend loves Parks and Recreation. And
these are
the
shows
I'd
probably like. That one, like, is one of them. Community, I feel like I might like if I watch it.
I never watched it. People keep telling me I have to.
Yeah, I haven't really watched either one.
I mean, like, she really likes Parks and Rec, and I don't. I'm like, eh, about it. And then I really like 30 Rock, and she's like, meh. So, like, it's like, I think all those newer shows like that, they saw their market of what they were going for, and they just went for that.
That part.
And that was it. Like, it wasn't, like, a wholehearted, like, anybody could turn it on type of show and be in, like, enthralled at it. You know what I mean?
There's shows. I hate when I watch a show that, like, nobody I know watches, and then I'm like, I can't talk about this with anyone.
Yeah. I want to talk about it, but nobody knows.
Like, I remember, like, Boston Legal. Well, actually, when I was in
Boston
Legal, you know, I was still living at home. That was a while ago. Yeah, that was, why do I always forget his fucking name? In The Blacklist, which is another show.
Oh, yeah. I know you're talking about. I forget his name also.
Yeah, and he was in The Office a little bit. I did not like his character in The Office, though.
It was interesting. No, I did watch all of The Office.
Okay, yeah, because he was the one boss for that stretch, that really weird fucking boss, and... Yes, I
can't remember his name right now. It's okay.
I wanting to call him Alan Shore because that was his character's name in Boston Legal. James Spader.
Either you're gonna remember it or the three people who listen to this will.
Yeah,
so.
he's a great actor, and like because in Boston Legal he like seriously if. I feel like people would love that show if they fucking watch it, but nobody watched it.
No one watched it. But no one watched it. For some reason, it was on for
a while. It was on
for
five... It was like five and a half seasons. The fifth season was like a half season,
five and a half seasons with nobody watching it.
No, I mean, I watched it, but... I think I even stopped after, like, during or after three. I mean, I've seen it all now, but...
I just imagine like, that nobody meeting, want... just like we want to cancel the show, but if we cancel the show, we owe Shatner another $30 million.
They talk about like in episodes about like they'll have like things at the beginning of episodes about how like moving days. They're like, I thought we were on Thursdays now. They're like, and then he comes in. He's like, no, they moved us to Wednesdays at 10. He's like, what? Who did they tell? Jerry in word processing.
And that's
Jerry in word processing. Because that was like the fourth season. There was something about like, are we going to be back next
there's
season?
There's something absolutely beautiful and endearing about a show that realizes it's going down and just makes fun of itself. Right. Like it writes it into the show clearly makes fun of itself.
And I kind of hate, like, it was good, it was entertaining, but I sort of hate, because like, they made a point to point it out a lot about the fact that like towards the end of the third and like the fourth season, like the cases and the clients they get are like absurd cases, and like the
parents really liked that show
because the judges would be like of all the outrage the one guy that they brought in was just pointing out the fact that like it's like a circus in here because we're defending this guy and then we're defending this guy and then he's just pointing out all the ridiculousness of the cases.
I mean, like, I know my parents used to watch it, so when I would like walk in the room and they were watching, I'd laugh my ass off because like, I mean, there's Shatner will never not be funny.
He's so funny in that fucking show.
he will always be hysterical whether he's trying to be or not. He's just one of those people. I don't know. It's weird. I laughed, though, because, like, fuck it.
He was pretty funny on Rescue 911 as well. He was great. He was great on Rescue 911.
I don't know, you probably don't know this show because you don't like old stuff, but did you ever see the show, it wasn't Emergency. It was, it was another
ER.
Show.
ER. I didn't watch
ER. It was ER, Dr. Carter and Green. It was the show, like, the late 70s, early 80s with Lou Ferrigno. A dude who played the original Hulk.
Yeah.
And one of the stories goes that, like, I guess one of the openings of, like, one of the first episodes, because, like, he can't talk real well. He's, like, kind of, like, well, one of his ears fucked up or something. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I'm not a science guy. And he apparently gets over someone, like, in the first episode and just, like, holds up two fingers and goes, can you hear me? And, like, apparently that was, like, a huge thing then.
Was it?
And everyone was like, whoa, you can't do that, man. You can't show, like, special kids, like, or something like that. I was like, what? And I mean, it was, like, the 70s. They already beat it into the ground.
That was PC at the
70s. What I'm saying, in all those old 70s sitcoms, they always had, like, a kid in a wheelchair randomly. They always had incredible stereotypes and racism.
Oh, you have to.
It was ridiculous. And, like, now, like, it's funny now to see shows because, like, the racism is moved from, you know, like, colors of people's skin
to
gay and everything like that. And, like, you know, like, I don't really care, like, do whatever, like, you know, no one, that's the biggest thing. The thing that pisses me off is, it's 2015, nobody cares anymore.
Modern Family had a double whammy.
I know.
Because, yeah, the gay and the adopted.
And might I just say, Nathan Lane, hysterical.
Which one is that? I don't really know actual names.
Well, he's a friend of he's a friend of the main gay couples on that. Do you know that's a show? I enjoy the writing on that show. There's a lot of subtle jokes.
Yeah, that's a great show.
And it's funny because, like, I love meeting like young comics and like comics who are like very into like it was art like art burr and like you say something about like Modern Family, it sure fucking sucks. I'm like, actually. The writing's pretty not bad, and they're making a shit ton of money.
They are making a shit ton. So they win,
I'm not gonna knock it.
They win a lot of awards.
Like, I mean, like, I don't know if you ever watched that show, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I saw one. I think I only saw one episode of it.
I mean, I've never watched it. Never watched it before, and everyone says it's hysterical. I need to watch it. I feel haven't
like
watched it.
It's like,
here's the thing. I don't really feel like watching it.
I feel like that's a show I might enjoy.
But they're
if
making
I did.
A shit ton of money, so fuck it. I'm not gonna knock it.
It's like that show was probably funny. It's probably like absurd, like this could never happen type stuff. And that's a lot of television. Yeah. I like it when it could be partially like believable. You know what I mean? I hate when it gets like too crazy and characters get too like that. There could never be a person that acts like that.
I mean, I always just love because I was brought up when I was growing up, and you know, we always used to watch a lot of Seinfeld. And, like, some people hate it, some people don't. But then when Curb Your Enthusiasm came out, it was basically Seinfeld with cursing.
I didn't think people got on board with that, did they?
Yeah, it was, like, 9 seasons or something
I was on board with Seinfeld, and I recently watched that whole series, like, a couple months ago. And I realized, like, how actually great, like, even the writing and, like, the...
Sometimes you forget how many bits are in one episode of that show.
Right.
Which was funny because... Like, if you break it down, it came down to two stand-ups writing a sitcom.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't a lot... Like, I'm sure that, like, you know, they had writing staff and stuff, but it came down basically to Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David, two stand-ups. So, like, there's like, 5 or 6 bits in each episode.
Yeah.
And you forget how many are there. And, like, and you're like, holy shit, they basically just did, like, a tight 20 set with commercials.
And like, to me, I didn't even really notice it was, like, you can't really tell it's a comedian bit, like, when you're watching. Like, very first, like, Mulaney never got off the ground, but I remember watching episode of that, and this might be because I like Mulaney's comedy, and I've heard it a bunch of times.
I love his stand-up.
But the very first episode, anyway, they put in a couple of his bits from, like, his CDs that he's had out, but it just seemed so forced, and so obvious, and just, like, it's, you know, you're not doing it subtly enough, like, it's just too much of it.
I believe the term is creative control.
I'm kind of upset it didn't get off the ground, because I even read, like, that's a show, like, you're gonna suffer through the first season.
I mean, he's one of those guys, like, I feel like he's another one of those guys that people, you either like him or you don't. I mean, I like him, and I've seen him live randomly a few times in random places.
I saw him once. It was
and one thing that like I love seeing is when people who don't like do comedy and don't really like understand what it really is, like at its core.
Yeah.
When they see their favorite stand-ups live, and they're like, "That wasn't anything like the CD." Like, you know, like they'll see a guy like. Do 5 minutes on Letterman
and
or something.
And they'll, like, request a joke.
No, it's like, prime example, like, one would be, like, years ago, when Last Comic Standing first came out, right?
Yeah.
Kurt Metzger was on it. And he was doing, you know, jokes that were edited for TV and stuff. Yeah. He was funny. He was still being Kurt Metzger. But when you see him live, that is a whole different monster.
And people are like, "What is this? I thought this was family."
Now, I think it's hilarious. I love it. I like his shit a lot. But I don't know. It's like it's just funny to see because like you know I've taken friends and stuff to different comedy shows and they're like, that guy was different when he was on TV, and I was like, well, you know, not, you know, it's a different world.
Yeah, it's a different monster.
I have this one guy I know. He's squeaky clean, but he's a fucking like just animal. The dude is a beast on stage.
Really, a lot of times clean comics aren't. I mean, some are good, but I mean...
Well, I mean, like, yeah, not a lot of people were ever looking for clean comics, but I tell you what, that dude...
Well, there aren't many around anymore.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
they're hard to come by.
Dude's getting work. Dude's getting
oh,
work.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're gonna...
I mean, that's the biggest thing, is, like, you know...
For the most part,
Start working and stuff, start getting paid and everything like that every once in a while. Like, you gotta... You can't go out... You totally can. Like, there's no reason you can't, but, I mean, if you want... And to keep getting a lot of work, you can't be totally foul constantly. Yeah, slip it in.
For the utmost part, Burr Biggs is like an almost complete.
Yeah, no, like, that's a perfect example.
Like he has, like some, a lot of his CDs don't have one curse in it, and then the one that has like two or three, they actually do bleep it. Mm-hmm. Like it's at the very end of the CD, and they actually bleep it out.
He is hilarious.
Yeah, he's still probably my favorite. I think.
And like, I'm not saying like don't. Be dirty because
no,
I mean,
no,
I mean,
it's
you
so hard
my,
not to.
You
be.
See my
yeah.
act. I got some pretty foul shit in there. But I'm saying is like you know if I do a show with like a fucking VA or a Moose Lodge or something, and there's a bunch of like old women in front of me. I'm not gonna come out. I'm not
come
gonna come
on,
out
no,
with my bit
on.
About 12 blowjobs.
Why
like,
not? Come on, they'll like that. It. They'll think it's endearing. They've probably taken 12 so in their lifetime. You know what I mean?
In the lifetime,
it was
not
a
in the night.
No, all at once. I mean. In their lifetime, they've probably taken 12 at once.
The war was rough.
I think, you know, there's a chance. I mean, you could you do a clean set if you needed to? Could you do 15 minutes of clean comedy?
A clean 15? It depends on which clean you're talking about. I think I might be able to pull it off, but I would throw in, like, there would be a lot of, like, because... fungus,
but you can't
out curse words and
yeah,
shit.
You can't just change the word to something else.
Because like, that is bullshit talky mushrooms. Like, it'd be a lot of nonsense like that.
So you would seem kind of corny, but just because.
Just
like,
because.
Make it
no,
funny,
generally,
like, corny funny, but like, just
I mean, generally,
because.
Just how I talk. I curse, that's just how it is. I don't know how I am. I don't know, it's weird. I mean, I've heard it from a lot of different people. Like, I've had a lot of people being like, don't curse at all. Some people being like, you know, curse a little bit. And other people just being like, do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
And you go through, I feel like, well, at least I did. I went through all the stages. Like, I tried to be clean up front.
I never tried.
Not like squeaky clean.
Yeah.
Like, not that the topics were clean or that the premises were clean. But like, just the language.
Yeah, that's something
was
I never
cleaner.
Yeah, that's one thing I never worried about is the fact that I'm like, you know, when I'm putting it together, if it has curses in it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I try it. I mean, the thing is, like, one thing that I did, that someone said to me once was, depending upon what the joke is and all that kind of stuff is, don't let the, like, the curse word, like you're saying fuck or something, whatever, be the emphasis of the punchline every time.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they were going to say it all,
sometimes
that
just fits.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, I thought you were going to say, like, ever. Like, don't let that
no,
be
no,
here.
Not
and
ever.
I was going to be like,
no, I mean, like, not
I mean, there are
every
times,
time.
There are
I mean,
times
like,
it's going to be, yeah, it's going
to
be.
Because, I mean, but that goes back to what I was saying, is like, you know, a lot of people, that, when they go to see stand-up live, or comedy, improv, whatever, live, they don't.
No one goes to see improv live.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No. They don't. You know, they don't realize like, it's pretty raw. It's not. You know. It's
yeah.
not TV friendly. 5 minutes on Leno. It's you know.
He's stupid. No, he's not around anymore.
I know
Fuck
he's
him.
Not. Actually, I was never a fan of him.
No.
I like
Letterman a little bit. I was into
Conan.
Kimmel for a while.
I always
hated Conan.
Really?
Yeah, he annoys the shit out of
really?
Me. I don't like him at all. That's just me,
man.
But. Yeah, to me, like, Conan's always been just annoying, and I just don't like the way he comes off. But, I mean, a lot of people love him, so I'm,
oh,
like,
of course, yeah.
not going to judge the people that love him, but
yeah,
I just know that's
Conan.
One thing, one person. I do like Fallon. I think he's hilarious.
See, that's...
I don't really
see,
watch
don't like
talk
Fallon.
Shows. I don't really watch them at all, but when I do, like,
yeah.
I would watch Letterman here or there. I would watch Kimmel when he first came on. I watched him for a while, and, So, yeah, I don't really watch talk shows that much, but I do think Fallon's really funny, especially when he has someone playing off of like Justin Timberlake. He's really funny with.
Sometimes, like, I mean, sometimes he does have some, I mean, I don't usually watch the show, but sometimes he, like, you know, like, bits will, something will pop up on Facebook or wherever,
yeah,
like, on the internet, and,
like, the lip sync contest,
yeah, you watch shit like that will come up, it's not too bad, it's pretty funny, but, I don't know, I'm not a huge fan.
Alright, we have a lot to fit in here in 15 minutes, so here we go, let's, first,
right. Slam in 15 minutes,
first, you know we have to talk about it, we can't not, okay?
What's that?
Listen. Don't front, okay? Go ahead. We have to talk about this, okay? You know we do. The listeners want to hear about it.
About what?
You need me to spell it out for you, Mike?
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
How do you want me to phrase it? What's the let's see, what's like the worst a set has ever gone for you, or what's like how would you deal with a crowd full of people talking or yelling at you, or what's the craziest thing you've done on stage?
I've been trying to repress that.
No, they want to hear about it.
Okay.
I'll even let you tell
I'll
the story. It was a great. It's a great story.
I don't care. I'll talk about it. Basically. So what started as we were trying to get the a couple of years ago trying to get the Long Boys podcast up and going. We did a podcast at my house, and it was December 21st, 2012. It was the Doomsday Day or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Was that what it was? The 21st.
Yeah, but I mean, it was what you did that first before here.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So we were sitting there. A bunch of us were there. Ben, the original guys, Jer-Bear, Jimmy, all those guys. And we were drinking. I mean, we were drinking hard. Like, I think we drank probably almost 3 cases of beer and, like, a couple bottles of whiskey. And then we came over to do the show, the Doomsday Show.
Where what it was going to be is it was going to be a panel thing talking about end of the world stuff and then an open mic.
Yeah, but it started with stand-up.
Well, didn't it start, you guys tried to do the panel, and you just cut it, because nobody...
Well, no, I don't think we even... I don't remember. I don't think we even tried
the... Because I remember being here, and what it was supposed to be a panel where you were kind of asking questions,
No,
and
I think I think we changed it. I think originally, I think it was supposed to be that, and then I think it flipped to we were going to do stand-up first, and then the panel.
The only thing was, is, like, I can kind of remember you guys trying the panel, because I remember it be, I was barely a couple sets deep in the comedy in general, and, the backstory, though, was you're gonna do the panel, and for some reason, I'm pretty sure you tried, and they're like, you know what, and the thing was, it was on a Friday, and you normally don't get Friday, so, a lot of the college kids were home. And they came here to drink and not to see an open mic or a panel.
Well, here's the deal. There's a lot of things. I don't know. Now, granted, I will say this. There's one thing. One of the things that disappointed me the most, even before the show started, was that there was a riled group in the back of about probably 30 frat bros. And I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. The staff did nothing to say, hey, we're doing a comedy show here. It's going to be one person.
Yeah,
because
they
stage.
Wanted the money. Because, like,
you know what I mean?
They were kind of regular
bar
here
was crowded.
To drink. Yeah,
bar was crowded.
And they wanted that.
But
so,
nobody once said, hey, just a heads up, when they start the show, I'm going to need you to bring it down just a little bit because they're going to be on stage talking.
Yeah.
It's fine. But that didn't happen. So anyway, aside from the fact.
Yeah, wait, so I remember the show started. They're like, you guys just want to cut it. And I remember they weren't going to do the mic at all, and then Preston's like, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to go out there and start the show. And I remember before you went on, it was Preston, and then Wood, and then Fiddler went on. And Fiddler had the people up front engaged because he did
there
all
was,
crowd
no,
work.
No, there was a crowd here for the show.
Yeah, so the people up front were engaged, and he did like all
there
crowd work
least,
because how loud
there
it
was. At least 30 to 35 people here for the Doomsday Comedy Show.
Yeah.
Now, the crowd in the back
was just
about 30 deep also, but they were here to just get fucking plastered. So I remember every single person that came back into the green room was just like, that was fucking rough. Like, they tried everything in the book to get the crowd on board. Everything. So, in my drunken mind, I said, alright, I'm gonna go out. I'm gonna yell and get their attention. Like, yell. Like, fucking scream. And then when I get their attention, I'm gonna slip in a stupid joke and try to pull them in. Try to pull them in. So I went out, yelled, got a little bit of attention, tried a stupid joke, didn't hit. So I yelled again, got their attention, and I was just drunk. Very, very drunk. And I just kept yelling. And then that's when they clicked over in my brain that I hated everyone in the back of the room. And I didn't have a filter at that point, and I just screamed at them.
Yeah, you could tell at first you were trying to be like, "Hey, no!"
I was trying.
No. And then shit just got wild. It was a lot of what was the phrase you kept saying over and over again? It was I'm drawing a blank.
I believe the phrase was "Shut the fuck up."
Oh, that's right. It was quite simple.
Yeah, quite simple. Straight to the point. And then I get off stage, and I'm in the back, and I'm plastered, absolutely plastered. And I'm sitting here with some other people, and we're like, all right, let's go out and get another beer. And Ben's like,
yeah.
Dude, you can't go out there. I'm like, what do you mean it can't go out there? And he's like, there's like 20 people in the back waiting for you to come out, right? They want to kick the shit out of you.
I'm pretty sure you told one of them that their mom doesn't love them.
I don't remember.
I think I remember.
And I just remember Jimmy sitting here, right where I'm sitting right now, looking up at Ben going, dude, Ben, you're like the biggest motherfucker I know. Let's just go do this. Now, here's the deal. It was very good on a lot of reasons. One,
you almost lost this our mic. It wasn't mine at the time. I mean, I didn't help run it at the time.
No, well, I mean, the thing is, I came back the next day, and I talked to Sam, who's the manager, and I was like, hey, I was really, really drunk. I'm so, so sorry. That's all my fault. Put all the blame on me. If you don't want me here anymore,
yeah. That's
fine. Like, I laid it all out. Like, I'm sorry I fucked up. That's okay. It was good for me in the sense of, like, you know, you gain your gauge of, like, you know, like, don't, how much you can drink before you get on stage. Like, I have a gauge. Like, I have a rule for myself. I have a rule of how many drinks I can have before I get on stage. That's it. Because, like, I like to, there's a control aspect to the whole situation. And, like, I was young and stupid. Like, I wasn't even, I don't even know how many years I was in at that point. But, it was terrible.
I did a set once.
Drunk. I mean, the other good part about it is I then wrote a bit about that blow up and getting taken off stage and all that shit, that actually did really well for a couple months. And it was good, because it was one of the first bits I had to write about something that happened to me that was incredibly, incredibly embarrassing as an adult. Not like a kid sitting on their birthday cake. Like, as an adult, incredibly embarrassing, and that had to do with what I was doing. So, like, the bit that I ended up writing, I don't remember exactly how it went, but it did come across, like, it was a very, like, you know, I was completely honest about it. And I just told this bit and, like, kind of joked around about it, and it worked out.
As everyone's jaws are on the ground, just watching this happen.
And
I think at one point someone was happy you were doing it to try and shut them up, but then the more you kept going, they're like, oh, no.
Well, I tell you what, for years now, I've been, like, you know, hanging out at shows, just, like, hanging out with people and stuff, and, like, I'll be kind of drunk, and people be like, you want to do some time? And I'll be like, no. Like, why? And I'll be like, I had too much alcohol in me. Don't let me up there.
Yeah, I've only done, I think, one set drunk, and it was by accident. I was just drinking, and then I didn't realize until right before I went up that I was, like, pretty drunk. And at the time, I wasn't even in that, in the comedy that long, and so, like, I was very, very hit or miss my set. So that one was just a clear miss, because my head was all
weird, though.
Bottled up, and nothing came out
it's
right.
It's a weird thing to be drunk when you're up there. I don't know, like, because I had that, and, like, years later, I had, at the time, I was doing a lot of shows, like, the one month I did, like, a shit ton of shows, and I had this 15 minutes just down, every word, every night, that was it, those were the 15 minutes, and I was super drunk, just hanging out with my friends at some party or whatever, at some bar, and they were doing an open mic, like, you should go tell jokes, and I was like, I'm really, really drunk, and they were just like, just do what you've been doing, and I autopiloted.
Did it work?
I was doing that 15 minutes so consistent, so close to that, I went up, just autopiloted, got off stage, and was just like, was it good?
I had no idea. Basically blacked out.
Basically. Like, and, like, I had no idea. Like, I knew in my brain where the laugh should be, so I would, like, you know, just stop for a second and just let the joke end.
I don't even know if they were laughing.
I don't even know. But everyone was like, how did you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to ever do that again. Don't let me do that again. That was terrible.
I remember, though...
That I mean, that's shit you do when you first start joking around. It's fun. Like,
I know that I remember because of the blow-up, and obviously the rest of the mic was canceled. You basically saved me because I think at the time, I may have done a total of... I'd say most. I don't even think this many. At most, I may have done 5 sets. I don't think it was that many. Yeah. So, not only were my jokes not good, but... I wouldn't have even known what to do in that kind of a setting, trying to tell comedy to a very noisy back room and people up front, because all the noise were like, they were paying attention, but it kind of, you know, it's fleeting.
There's a huge difference between when you have one heckler versus 30, and you're wasted.
They weren't necessarily heckling at first. It was when you brought them in. You brought them in. They were just talking a lot
before. I mean, like, I went out, I clearly remember walking out with good intentions of getting them on board on the show. And then, you know, when you're fucked up like that, you just
fail.
When you're that drunk, you just, you know, your brain turns off and you just you do whatever.
Well, I'm gonna put that at the end of this episode. Everyone's gonna hear it.
Hear what?
Okay, I have the audio. At the end of the episode.
Don't put that on the
end.
Oh,
come on, let me put it on there.
Do not put that on there.
I obviously, this was my way of asking for permission, but I wanted to put it on there. Come on, man.
Nope.
If people want to see it, people want to, I mean, hear it.
No, here's the deal. This is what I want you to do. I want you to send me the copy of the video, right? And when people, I will put it on my phone. And when people really want to see it, they can ask me and I will show them.
Well, yeah, it wasn't even going to be the video, obviously. If I put it at the end of this, it would have just been
audio,
the
audio, whatever. Either way,
I mean,
no. Just send it to me and I'll show people. I don't want... Don't put that up.
Not that many people listen. It'll be fine.
I don't care. You know why? Because the one person that does listen, don't put that up.
Oh, come
don't
on.
Put it up.
It would be fantastic.
No. My mother is a Facebook ninja. She doesn't need to hear that.
I'm going to do a super fast ending. What we're going to do here, since... basically what happened, I'll explain what happened, is I fucked up by, we came here to record this at 5:30, and the mic doesn't start till 8:30, so we came here to record at 5:30, and I left all the adapter parts for my mixer in my house, so we spent a long time trying to figure out how to record it.
We tried.
And then we basically, by the time we started recording, we only had, like, about an hour, so I had to... So this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna call this part one, and I'm gonna have you back soon, and not like the very next episode, but when our schedules mesh again.
No problem.
We're gonna record another episode, and we're gonna call it D'Alto Part Two, where we can have a fuller episode.
No problem.
So we'll run into the end, how I like end my shows.
I was gonna say, let's not end.
Not like end. No. There's still a little. Okay, so I'm gonna do a very abbreviated Thunder Round because I didn't even have a chance to write down a lot
round.
Of Thunder Round. It's
Thunder
where
Thundercats are go.
Yeah, it's where I will say a word or something and then.
Word association.
Sort of. It's whatever comes to mind, however long or short you want it to be. Normally I have some written down. But I was going to do that before we started, and I just told that story. They heard it. They heard the story.
No problem.
It was a great story. Did you like it? You were
no.
here from... Oh, you didn't like the story. I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was clear, precise, and entertaining.
I mean, it hit the points it needed to hit.
There you go. Okay, here we go. So,
right, here we go.
So first thing, here we go. Bells.
Oh, wow. That's actually, that pops up really big in my head right now. There's an album I've been listening to. It's called Tubular Bells by Mike Oldfield. It came out in 1973. It's 48 minutes long. It's like this dude playing like 17 different instruments.
Wait, one song was 48
minutes?
It's just one 48.
It's double, it's an LP, so it's, you know, both sides.
Oh, no, so it's more than one song, though. I thought you meant maybe it was a 48-minute song.
No, well, I mean, it stops when you have to flip the record
over.
Oh,
but it's still just a continuous song.
Yeah, no, because I have it digitally also, and it just goes for 48 minutes. Like, that's it.
I thought
it's phenomenal. It's really, really good.
I thought, I have a song that's, like, 9 minutes, like, and I thought that was a long song.
Well, the worst thing is I keep infecting people with it. Like, I'll be like, just listen to it. And they're like, what the fuck? Because it starts
for an
off.
Hour.
It starts, here's the thing. It starts off with the Exorcist. Like, that was the original Exorcist thing. The dun 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 dun. That was the Exorcist.
Yeah.
It starts with that. That's where they got it from. And then it goes into, you know, the rest of the song.
Is it all instrumental?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There's no singing.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. It's so good. Like, I mean, like, you know, like, I don't know. I like a lot of weird music like that. So, like, I listen to it. It sounds great. And my buddy, actually, I had someone give me a stack of records. Because they know I have a record collection, and they, you know, I was going through it, and I was like, this is like the pile of I don't want, and I don't know what it is, and my one friend who came over and was just like, dude, no, you put this on right now. This is like you. This is your brain. Put this on. And I put it on. And I was like, holy shit. And then we sat there and drank all night. We listened to it like 6 or 7 times.
That's something I couldn't get into because I'm a big lyrics person. And like, okay. I mean, I like when it's nice, whatever, but I'm more of a lyric.
No, I'm glad you said bells. No, one buddy keeps calling me. You met Chris from Connecticut, Cerami?
Maybe.
He's a big, obnoxious Italian kid. He keeps calling me, you fucking piece of shit. I can't stop listening to Tubular Bells. And I'm like, all right, relax.
All right, I'm going to come up with like 2 more. I'm going to take them off the wall since I didn't prepare any. Ooh, anal cunt.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, some people are into what they're into.
It's true.
And, you know, what do you say to that?
I don't even
know. I mean, like, that... I mean, it took a very... certain level of creativity in one person's brain to write that on
someone
the wall
said they
in Sharpie.
Think that's actually the name of a band, but it looks like it's just someone wrote Anal Cunt because they were feeling funny
right?
that day.
I don't know. I can't tell.
It doesn't look like a band wrote that. It looks very just
no,
like, hey, I just want to write Anal Cunt on the wall.
It doesn't look like this band name that's like shaped like a giraffe
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, whatever that is. I don't know. And like, I know that always comes up in this room, so I don't know what to say
yeah, because it's just there. Okay, tacos.
Love them. Absolutely love
favorite tacos.
I like the pork, the carnitas. It's my favorite.
But from a place, what place?
I usually make them myself.
Okay.
I get the Puerto Rican background in me, so I know how to make some stuff like that. But also, I don't know, around here in particular, I like California tortilla.
Okay. I only get the burritos. And I've only actually been there like twice.
Burrito's like a big taco, let's
be
honest.
Basically. And mine are very plain. All I get on it is whatever the meat I'm getting, plus I get rice, beans, and cheese. That's like that's it. No sauces, no veggies.
Hey, you know, Anal Cunt, you're either into it or you're not.
Last one, here we go.
Boom.
Matt Lips.
When I think of Matt Lips, I will start off with Good Guy.
There he is.
Good Guy and fun, absolutely fun to watch grow as a comedian.
Hear that, people? You hear what he said?
No, because honestly, he's like, sometimes I don't really get out to the same mics and shows that you do a lot, and so
sure,
every time...
you used to come here every week, and now I never...
I get here like every other month, you know? But either way, like... it's fun to see you and like you and Dan, especially that were like the younger guys a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Like every time I see you, you guys are better, and that's so
still
much
go
fun
through the
to
periods
see.
Where I'm think I'm getting like good, and then I hit those good mics for
dude,
a while,
that's,
and then all of a sudden,
that's everyone,
all of a sudden
though.
I'm hitting like months of like where I'm bare like the same bits aren't hitting at all, and I'm like,
dude,
oh wait, no, I was wrong
you
before.
Can,
like I still go through that.
That's
yeah,
a, it's
I still
everyone.
Go
that's
all,
everyone.
Yeah, oh I know, but I still go through.
You talk
through
to
that,
someone
like,
that's been doing this for like 30 years, and they'll be like, yeah, I thought I was good last week,
but
this week,
no, this week I'm the worst. I want to try a new game. We don't have a lot of time for it, so we only have time for like maybe one or two.
No problem.
Yeah, usually I had like the same kind of games, but I've been varying it up, coming up with new stuff. This is something that's like just come up naturally on some of the podcasts, and I thought it would be fun to do this. So I guess I'm gonna call it like fake facts, where I'm gonna just say like something, and you just make it up. Like if you were talking to someone who asked you about it, and they only know like a little bit about it, and you're just gonna bullshit your way through.
No problem.
All right, it's all
that's how I live my life.
Oh, nice, because we learned it's all about just being.
That's no.
Just,
that's how
just
you...
being just. It's all about being confident.
That's called Living in America.
There it is.
And there's James Brown song. Living
yeah, but,
in America.
But I found the fun thing to do is like say like absurd things, but like you fucking mean it.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's see. I'm just gonna do two. It goes not as long as you want. We have like maybe 5 minutes. Okay. The Revolutionary War.
Fun fact about the Revolutionary War. Everybody thought that it came to a close in the late 1770s. It actually did not. Come to a close until 1972. Yeah.
How did it end then?
It ended exactly when Janis Joplin OD'd.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was horrible.
How did that end?
Yeah, everyone was just coming together.
Oh!
And then it split up, and then all those bands came out, and then, you know, the crack happened in the 80s, and the 90s was just fucking weird, so.
What was the point of the Revolutionary War, though?
I believe it was to monetize the use of tobacco from the South.
Oh my! Oh really?
Yes.
Because I thought it had been legal like long before that. That's fucking nuts. This is
point of the
revolution. Because I thought it had something to do with like British or the South will rise again.
No,
or something.
No, no. We really wanted that republic from Mexico, which then became Texas and the Southwest.
So that belonged to Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I believe it was the Louisiana Purchase.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
And, like, Lois and Clark were there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, they were there.
They crossed the Mississippi.
They filmed that Chris Farley movie with him and the dude from Friends there.
Wait, they were part of the Revolutionary War?
Remember that movie? Yeah. They were, like, with Lois and Clark and stuff. Yeah.
Mm, okay.
That was a thing.
That's some good knowledge.
Right?
I like it.
Yeah.
They
should be teaching it in schools.
All right, the last one, we'll go with the 1997 Daytime Emmy Awards. Ooh, good luck.
Oh, my God.
Good luck, sir.
The 97 Daytime
Emmy Awards. The 97 Daytime Emmys.
I mean, you know, honestly, I was really pissed off that Franklin the Turtle didn't win. Because it was straight between him and Little Bear and The Busy World of Richard Scarry. Uh-huh. And I really thought that Franklin had it. And it was weird because they gave an Emmy to Family Matters because it was syndicated and it would come on Channel 4 in New York at like 10 in the morning. Technically it counted, but I didn't think, I don't know, it was a really fucked up show.
I thought Family Matters
Neil
was still
Patrick
on
Harris actually
now.
Hosted it and he was horrible.
Oh, was he?
So they should have, you know, they should have known and not let him do that ever again.
Because gay was still being a thing back then. Did they know he was gay yet in 97?
I don't think it matters. I think you're either a good host or you're not. And he was terrible.
He was great in How
I
Met Your Mother. That was later, though.
He was doing it as, like, a slightly older Doogie Howser.
Is that what it was?
And, you know, I thought it was a formal event, and he was wearing a lab coat. And I was like,
no.
Man, you're being a dick.
Did he really?
He's wearing scrubs to a fucking black tie affair.
He was playing his character.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I always forget who won Best Supporting Actress in a soap opera. For the life of me, I always forget.
Oh, what was that chick's name? I believe it was Mariska Hargitay,
okay.
Who then went on to,
for some reason, what soap was that,
keep SVU on for another 14 years.
Yeah, what soap was that, though?
I believe it was called Mariska Hargitay, Please Sit on My Face.
I've never heard of that one. How many seasons is that on?
It was on. There was 3 episodes, and it won all of the Daytime Emmys.
Oh my! It won all of them.
They had a great in memoriam though for just Tupac and Biggie. They weren't even on TV, but they did it because that was the year.
Holy shit!
They didn't have
like the grand the holograms. That's what they're called.
They didn't have holograms in 97. They had holographic fucking like Pokemon cards and shit.
Was
that even 97 Pokemon?
I don't know.
Maybe
I
was
wasn't
still,
into it.
Maybe it was still
but,
Pogs.
Wait,
they had holographic Pogs.
Oh,
that is a thing. That happened.
I think I had some.
I had a big old slammer.
Did
big old 8-ball slammer.
Is that the person you said before, is that Benson? You said SVU for 14 years. It has to be Benson, right? Is
like,
that her real name? Mariska, or is that
Mariska
made up Hargitay? Name?
I don't know what her name is on the show.
Oh,
no,
but is that a real name? Is that...
That's her real name, yeah.
Benson's the one that's been on there for forever.
Yeah,
she's still there. I still watch
Here's a question for you before we wrap up. Have you ever listened to Richard Belzer's stand-up?
Nope.
Okay. That's your homework.
Is that...
That's
oh
your
God.
Homework for
no
part
one's
two.
No one's ever given me homework.
That's
oh,
your homework.
This is crazy.
When we do part two, that's your homework. You need to listen to Richard Belzer's stand-up. I'm not going
to
say.
I'm not going to say
whether it's good or bad or if I enjoy it or not. I want to hear your take on it the next time.
I'm probably get your. You might have to remind me. I'm very forgetful.
I know I'm going to have to
okay,
remind you. Of course,
I'm
going to have to remind you.
Okay, so from now I started doing this a couple episodes back, and so now my guest ends the show. So take it away.
Thanks for listening to Lip Service. It was great. Thank the Club Puck for letting us not only do shows here all the time, letting Ben and all those guys run it, but letting us come in early and record and do projects here, which is pretty cool and pretty sweet about that. So they're cool. I'd also like to thank Doers White Label for being my best friend, and that's pretty much it.
Ever Doers White Label?
Do you have any sponsors?
Oh, okay. I don't have any.
No sponsors? You didn't throw anything in?
Well, you end the show. So it's he ended it. Say the last word.
The last word? I believe the last word for tonight will be periwinkle.